your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at me.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program. Hey!
Well, hello, America, and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell Radio Program, your source 3 hours every day of broadcasting fabulosity, common sense, conservative values, and you need them today on this tax day. The screwing of America as even Democrats wake up and realize this sucks, right? It is not complicated. And we're going to break down so many stories for you guys today. Donald Trump, the first former president, the first leading presidential candidate of a political party to face criminal charges and a trial, right? That's happening today as basically the United States is going to hell in a handbasket. We're going to walk you through it. And hopefully on the flip side, you're going to feel less like jumping off the cliff and more like joining the army, because that's what it's going to take. Wendy Bell Radio Network app, follow along the live stream. Wendy Bell Radio, our podcast. Just keep coming back. We love having you. Welcome home. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. I had a whirlwind weekend. I've never been to Knoxville, Tennessee. This weekend I went. Took my son Ryan, check out the college, see the community, experience the charm and the warmth of people in Tennessee, where kindness is expected and received. And it was as we landed from our connection flight from Atlanta in Knoxville, small airport, 12 gates. Efficient, effective, nothing dramatic. The flight attendant came on as we taxied and stopped at the gate and said, hey, everybody, we just need you to hang for a second. On our flight today is the body of a fallen service member. And we need to transfer his body before anybody else gets off the plane. If we can all just sit in our seats and let this gentleman, Staff Sergeant Sullivan, is all I could get. And I've searched and can't find anything about him. If you could just hang tight until his body comes off. And it just so happened, I was in the window seat right next to the wing and got to see it happen. And I've never been on a flight with a fallen service member. And you sit there and you can tell that people are agitated. They want to get off the plane, and I wanted to choke some of them. Everybody has to do their thing, right? But I thought we all had 5 or 10 minutes. This isn't a hub. Nobody was really connecting to go somewhere else, ostensibly. And then the hearse pulled up and a limousine and a family. And they stood there in a row, trying, sobbing, as the box carrying the casket opened up and we could see the flag-draped coffin. You know, that sort of moment slices through a lot of noise out there. We have war. We have poverty. We have migration. We have disease. We have taxes. We have lies and corruption and problems. Lots of problems. And in that moment, all I cared about was watching that casket. And then the service members in their full uniforms come up to carry the casket over to the hearse and salute it. Now, a lot of people ended up getting up on the plane and shuffling off anyhow. Everybody has to do their own thing. And I was angry about that as we were walking out, the last people, among the last people off the plane. And I would be lying if I told you I wasn't crying. Obviously, I cry at stuff like that. But I got vindication when I walked into the terminal. A lot of the people who had hurried off the plane had come around to the window inside to stand silently. There was not a word. It almost seemed as though even the children knew something was going on. And there was a stillness and a quiet and a respect. And I needed to see that. What's going on today in this country is pretty wild. It's tax day. I got clobbered, whatever it is, beaten, abused, the price of being successful, the price of thinking outside the box and creating something. It's crippling. And I've seen video from various cities where folks are in line, hundreds of people deep, to file their taxes. This does not end well. This is an awakening the likes of which this Democratic Party could have never even imagined. Because today is the day this lunacy comes full circle and costs us all in true dollars and cents. At the same time this is going on, we have Donald Trump, as I said in the beginning, the first former president, first leading presidential candidate, to be on trial, criminal trial, for shady stuff, crazy allegations, a show, a literal high school musical theatrical performance that does nothing but grind us down when what we really need to be doing is working together to climb out of this hellscape that the Democrats have given us. Simultaneously, we have this wild thing that happened on Friday when House Speaker Mike Johnson decided to be the tie-breaking vote to sink an amendment to that FISA Act, Section 702, allowing warrantless searches for 2 more years of all of us from the FBI. So that door knock that you're seeing, knock, knock, knock. Hi, Mr. So-and-so, we're with the FBI. We'd like to talk to you about your Facebook posts. Say what? Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, is the guy who votes so that the amendment requiring the feds to actually prove why they need to get a search warrant, why they need to spy on us, was shot down. Hours later, Johnson then flies to Mar-a-Lago to meet with Donald Trump. And the two stand together and introduce this SAVE Act, which is to prevent illegal immigrants from registering to vote under the guise of getting welfare or getting some kind of an identification card so that they can be employed. All of these things are going on while also happening today. Florida Representative Anna Paulina Luna played this super weird, unusual card to force another vote of that Section 702 thing that went down, thanks to Mike Johnson, on Friday. So they're going to have to vote on this thing again. And it's hoped that she and members of the MAGA party were able to convince enough people to let this amendment go through so that the FBI doesn't have unfettered access to spy on all of us. Now, but there's a reason that Trump and Johnson are doing this. I don't know what it is. I will tell you my interest is very piqued. Because something is going on. There is a play taking shape behind the scenes that we don't know about. And it has me kind of tingly today. And we're going to talk about that. And I want to remind you, the backdrop of all of this in New York, in Manhattan, where Alvin Bragg, who has padded this indictment against Donald Trump into 34 separate charges for every invoice, check, and ledger entry, to pad the charges against him, to create the illusion that something is there that is not there. It is standard operating procedure. Meantime, you and I want to be left alone to run our lives, run our businesses, run our families, thinking, and it should not be naive, that our federal government should be doing the same to our benefit. This is where we are on this tax day, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to walk through this. I remind you, House Judiciary GOP put out a poll over the weekend. Should Joe Biden and the FBI be able to spy on you without a warrant? 91.3% of the respondents said no. We are paying attention to the House today. All day. Don't go anywhere. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, I want to remind you, of course, the DOJ abused that Section 702 300,000 times in 2020. You think they won't do it again? We'll talk about it next. So 86 House Republicans voted against this amendment requiring a warrant, requiring that the FBI freaking go with credible evidence, with a reason. How about just a reason? A reason to spy on someone, right? And it's usually foreign intelligence related, right? Somebody's working with the Russians. Or somebody's got some wire transfer from Moscow. Oh, wait, I'm talking about Joe Biden. But they should have to go and create a reason why they want to spy on us. 86 freaking House Republicans said, nah, you know what? The FBI, they're good people. We like them. They should continue to do whatever the hell that they're doing. 278 times. In fact, we found this clip. A flashback to 2021. And here's Fox News, Brett Baer, bringing in this reporter, and they're talking about breaking news, this just in. Did you know the federal government sucks? And they spy on people a hell of a lot, like hundreds of thousands of times without you knowing about it? Because they did. Here's audio soundbite, flashback to 2021, number one.
Breaking tonight, new allegations that the FBI overstepped its authority in conducting investigations against American citizens. And not just a few times. We're talking in the hundreds of thousands of times. Correspondent David Spahn is at the Justice Department tonight with the breaking details. Good evening, David.
Brett, good evening. This story is quite something. This court document released just a few hours ago found that the FBI misused a popular digital surveillance tool on everyday Americans more than 278,000 times in 2020 going into 2021. We're specifically talking about Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, also known as FISA. It gives the FBI and other agencies the ability to digitally surveil without a court order or a warrant. We now know the FBI used the tool on people connected to the civil unrest following the death of George Floyd on the streets of the United States, those involved in the January 6th Capitol attack, even political donors.
Okay, so let's just remember. It is because of 702 that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were able to spy on Donald Trump. It is because of 702 that they got all of the geo-tracking data and were able to spy on, surveil, hunt down, arrest, charge, and imprison thousands of people who went to the Capitol on January 6th. That's 702. 602. Now, why would it be that not just House Speaker Mike Johnson, but also two others in GOP House leadership, including Elise Stefanik and Steve Scalise? Why would you vote against the amendment requiring the FBI to get a warrant to spy on Americans? The Fox flashback continues, though, because it seems somebody found out that the FBI, a singular FBI agent, was able to, because not needing a warrant, was able to spy on nearly 20,000 people. One FBI agent, 20,000 Americans. Listen to this crap.
According to the court, a redacted name or names, quote, conducted a batch query for over 19,000 donors to a congressional campaign. The analyst who ran the query advised that the campaign was a target of foreign influence, but the National Security Division determined that only 8 identifiers used in the query had sufficient ties to foreign influence activities to comply with the querying standard.
Okay, so let's just boil this down. Wait a minute. Somebody was doing a little bit of digging and they stumbled upon somebody in the FBI who did something and got a broad net and surveilled and spied on 19,000 people, saying that they were all connected in some capacity to some kind of foreign government influence. And yet when actually you peeled back the onion of suck, only 8 of those people even loosely had ties to another government, and none of them was named Bob Menendez. What? And this is what our Congress knows is going on? Ladies and gentlemen, they were able to spy on you during COVID. They were able to know who was telling the truth about, wait a minute, you know, I'm kind of on the fence about all this. This makes me feel very uncomfortable. They were spying on us then! And 86 freaking House Republicans, including the Speaker and Steve Scalise and Elise Stefanik. By the way, anybody wants to talk about her being on the shortlist for VP? Tap the brakes. Slam them. No. Hell no. So what is really going on today? We have an absolutely ineffective, corrupt, quote-unquote bipartisanly corrupt government that stays in office based on a bribery blackmail apparatus, insider trading that allows them to get rich, right? And then it's all under the guise of bipartisan cooperation. There is no cooperation. They are getting rich and spending your children's money. And they do it every single day. And they do it in your face every single day. And they do it with every single damn vote. And you, with your tax bill, just got bent over for it. But Joe Biden wants to finish the job. There is an awakening, ladies and gentlemen. People on the left are waking up and they are coming out on social media and apologizing to Donald Trump. Mr. President, I am so sorry. Because I believed what they were saying, and I was wrong. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, this unraveling of January 6th, D.C. National Guard whistleblower. Oh boy, I've got it all for you next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. You know, I'd like to... In this moment, I'd like to grab the remote control of American history, and I'd like to hit fast forward, and I'd like to scoot past whatever this residual time remaining is until everybody knows that January 6th was a setup. That January 6th was a setup reaction as a smokescreen to 2020, which clearly was a stolen election. I mean, this is no conspiracy. I do not have Reynolds Rapp in my drawer. I tell you what I see, and we all know what we see. It's not debatable. Truly, it's not. And we're going to have to get to this position And the sooner the mainstream media finally chokes on that reality and mea culpa's the truth, it's going to be a horrendous end for them. If they think the cataclysmic drop in confidence in media and in us actually paying for their content, if they don't think that's a serious problem now, because you're going to be on the losing side of this. Every single news channel out there that refuses to cover the story as these whistleblowers come forward, as everything that you and I and people with common sense have known, seen, suspected, and discussed for the better part of 3 years, right? Until these people come clean, they're a joke, and they will be a joke afterwards. But I want to read you this story because it's all falling apart. Friday, we talked about the idea, this great unraveling. The unraveling is going on in many different avenues of this ridiculous high school theatrical performance that you and I have been forced to suffer through since January 20th of 2021. And we paid attention, close attention, to the chief of Capitol Police. He was a gentleman named Steve Sund. He still is. He was widely ridiculed, demonized. He was the whipping boy of the left for January 6th. And he resigned days after January 6th because he didn't want to be more of a hindrance to the system than he was becoming. But he had a real story to tell. And the story that Steve Sund had to tell was not one that the January 6th committee was interested in hearing, because it directly opposed the narrative that a bunch of lunatic MAGA extremists, accompanied by and perhaps led by Oath Keepers, Proud Boys, and other fringe, wacko, militant weirdos, descended on the Capitol that day, intent to overthrow the government, storm the building, regain control, and they did all of this without communicating about it and without any weapons. That's the story. But what we know is Donald Trump asked in the days leading up to it for National Guard, directly requested, what, 25,000 National Guard troops? Was repeatedly stonewalled, ignored, and denied. We know Donald Trump on January 6th, at the very beginning of things going sideways at the Capitol, did a video. And in that video, he said, go home. Everybody at the Capitol, go home. We are a party and a country of laws. And the law is the law. We respect the law. Go home. And they scrubbed it from the internet. We know that the January 6th committee, cherry-picked by Nancy Pelosi to pick very specific people and not those who actually were interested in the facts or the truth or what really happened, had to be put into position to create that fairy tale farcical story of an insurrection. And now, on the Daily Mail, which is, hey, it's a website I pay attention to because some of the stuff is out there, but some of the stuff, when attributed and double-checked, which it is interesting. Stuff you don't get here in American news. And this is the title I'm specifically honing in on right now. DC National Guard whistleblowers to say they were ready to be deployed on January 6th on Trump's orders for hours, but were held back by the Pentagon in bombshell testimony contradicting Capitol Riot Committee's story. These whistleblowers are testifying this week. They're going to sit down before House Oversight Judiciary, and they're going to say, look, we were ready. We were within eyeshot. This is exactly what Capitol Police Chief Steve Sund has testified to before Congress. We could see them. They could see us. We were desperate. And the Pentagon slow walked, stonewalled, and finally released those National Guard troops when the entire thing was over, when Roseanne Boyland had been beaten to death, when a man had been thrown off of the top balcony at the freaking Capitol by a Capitol police officer to fall and shatter his legs. hours after Capitol Police fired rounds into the crowd. Do you think that incites chaos and panic? You think? And these whistleblowers, the drip, drip, drip of the unraveling of the corrupt garbage lie that was concocted specifically to get Donald Trump ineligible for re-election. They didn't care how many people got caught up in the fray. They didn't care who died. They didn't care who got beaten. Ashley Babbitt shot and killed by a Capitol Police officer who had been known before for being a boob. Dude left his service revolver in a bathroom welcome center at the Capitol and did not lose his job. And that's the dude. And that's the dude who shot and killed Ashley Babbitt. And I have questions about all of this. Did any of this really happen? That's the scary part. Whistleblowers from the Washington, D.C. National Guard will tell Congress that Donald Trump did want them deployed. No, duh! We know this. But everybody has to hear it. Because people who've been asleep, who've been listening to the narrative on the left, who've gotten their news from the New York Times and USA Today and Vox and Mother Jones, who've been spoon-fed 4 years, make it 7 years of abject garbage, need to choke on this dose of reality. He did want them deployed during the Capitol riot, and the Army delayed telling them to mobilize in a bombshell hearing set for this week. At least three officers we know will appear this Wednesday before a House subcommittee to claim their stories were also ignored by the Democrat-led January 6th committee because it did not fit their narrative. The hearing will aim to further prove that acting defense secretary at the time, Christopher Miller, did give advance approval of D.C. National Guard deployment at the direction of then-President Donald Trump. He did. So what happened? A person familiar with the review by the House Administration Committee's Oversight Subcommittee said the whistleblowers will provide testimony that then-Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy delayed by at least 2 hours providing official notice to D.C. National Guard Commander William Walker to deploy troops to the Capitol. So Trump says, yo, we need these troops. Guy in charge says, yeah, we do. Tries to get it from the people in charge, and the Pentagon say, we're sorry. If you'd like to talk to a human being, press 1. They stonewalled. They gave them radio freaking silence. And you're supposed to not know about this, of course. So what else do we know about these whistleblowers? Well, apparently they're deeply involved in this. They were there. They asked to testify. January 6th subcommittee said, go pound some sand. Those National Guard officers were on duty. They want to testify. They will. Regarding the breakdown in military communication, it wasn't a breakdown. It was purposeful. Nancy Pelosi, the Department of Defense, the Secretary of Defense, the Pentagon could not have anybody there to stop the entrapment. National Guard troops would have prevented people from entering the Capitol. That would have blown the narrative. National Guard troops would not have allowed the Capitol Police to fire into the crowd. Smoke, rubber bullets. The National Guard would have stopped the most desperate Hail Mary to come after a stolen election. And that was the story that Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans are crazy, unhinged, will take the law into their own hands, and must be stopped. The officers who were with this Walker guy, who knew that the president wanted National Guard, they will detail how they were on buses in full tactical gear for hours, waiting for the go-ahead from the Army. They were there. They were able. They were armed. They were stopped. Why ever would that be? Now, this hearing on Wednesday is titled 3 years Later, DC National Guard Whistleblowers Speak Out on January 6th Delay. It aims to examine whether Trump was at fault for the delay in National Guard deployment. Sounds like not. Sounds like Donald Trump has been the convenient whipping boy of every single suck narrative these losers in the establishment swamp have tried to push on us. Every single virus, every single fix, every single threat to security, everything that has overrun our border with people who do not belong here, every single thing that they have done because they suck, they have tried to pin on this guy. And today, Donald Trump sits in a courtroom, criminally charged, history-making, because the rabid establishment will stop at nothing. When we come back, Bill Maher, certainly no conservative, but he is done with the rabid progressives. You've got to hear these audio sound bites as the unraveling is awakening even Hollywood. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. I'm paying more attention to these voices on the left. Trevor Noah, CBS guy, the late night guy, comedian who was just awful, now talking about Trump was right. All of these people awakening and seeing that they were wrong, they were misled, they believed the media. Bill Maher sang it Friday night. We've got four audio sound bites. And the first one, he calls out Canada, calls out liberalism and trend-setting progressivism, and says, what is going on? Listen, go.
Honestly, Canada, I'm not saying any of this because I enjoy it. I don't, because I've always enjoyed you. But I need to cite you as a cautionary tale to help my country. And the moral of that tale is, yes, you can move too far left. And when you do, you wind up pushing the people in the middle to the right. At its worst, Canada is what American voters think happens when there's no one putting a check on extreme wokeness.
100%. And he goes on in this audio soundbite. Why do people vote for Donald Trump? Listen.
And this is why people vote for Trump. They say in politics, liberals are the gas pedal and conservatives are the brakes. And I'm generally with the gas pedal, but not if we're driving off a cliff. On the trans issue, America is no ands, ifs, or buts about it, absolutely alone in the world now, an outlier country. Last month, England's National Health Service announced that there's not enough evidence to support the safety or clinical effectiveness of puberty blockers for third graders, and that they were going to stop fumbling around with children's privates, because that's Prince Andrew's job.
But I mean, isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? Why does it take us 3 years to tell the truth? This is lunacy. It's barbarism. It's child abuse. It is indefensible. And the parents who allow it to happen. I don't have words for these people. We're going to have a whole bunch of young people grow up scrambled because they were preyed upon by adults who got caught in a woke wave of virtue. And they lost their freaking way. And then he starts talking about immigration. What the hell's going on with our borders? Listen.
Sweden opened its borders to over 1.5 million immigrants since 2010. And now 20% of its citizens are foreign born. And its education system is tanking. And it has Europe's highest rate of gangland killings. And one result is that the far right parties are in the government now there for the first time. To which liberals say blaming immigrants for the rising crime rate is racist. Yeah, but is it true? Of course it's true. It's not a coincidence the quality of life went down after the Somali gangs started a drug turf war using hand grenades. Calling it racist doesn't solve the problem. It hands future elections to someone who will solve the problem and who, I promise, you're not going to like.
Yeah, you will like. Because he ended with a picture of Donald Trump. Bill, it's all well and good that you're waking up now from your woke coma. But where have you been, sir? Where has your critical thought been? You've been championing these freaks. Their terrible policies. You were deranged by your loathing of one man who, I swear to you, only wanted American greatness. Not just for him, not just for white people, not just for rich guys, not just for heterosexual couples, for everybody. Bill, you are out there browbeating us to get a freaking vaccine. When are you going to come clean on that one? And finally, this, he talks about what's going on in Dearborn, Michigan. Chance of death to America. They're not hiding the jihadi agenda anymore. Go.
Okay, so that's where we are. Now can I talk about American propaganda? Because there was a rally in Dearborn, Michigan. It's a large Muslim population. Chance of death to America. I feel like we passed something here. You know, I mean, the left has gotten mad at me for many years for talking about Islam. I try not to do it too much because I know it makes them go crazy, and I've made my point. But it needs to be talked about now. When you start chanting death to America in America, I mean, I got it. Charlottesville was real bad when they were chanting death to the, what was it, Jews will not replace us. But on American soil, here's the Tariq Bazzi is the organizer of this. This was at the end of Ramadan, International Day of Quds, Al-Quds, which was pronounced originally by, he said, this is why Imam Khomeini, that's the Ayatollah Khomeini. Remember him,
yep.
The Ayatollah Khomeini? He's the good guy now. Khomeini, he would say to pour all your chants and all of your shouts upon the head of America. Yeah, I heard this before. Not coming from America, but the great chastisement. We will chastise the infidels. But now it's coming from inside America. Sorry, got to talk about this again. He said, we live in one of the rottenest countries that ever existed on earth. It's not just genocide, Joe, that has to go. It's the entire system that has to go. No, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. I like our system. This is America, for crying out loud.
Well, what about...
And there are people who see me say this, oh, he's a conservative now. I'm a conservative. I have not changed. I always liked America and thought death through it was bad.
Well, how about...
So on the one hand, you are pleased to hear such things coming out of a person who's been such a toxic schmuck for so long. It shouldn't have taken so long, Bill. Because this is all we have been saying. This is the reason why people went to the Capitol on January 6th. Do you see it now, sir? That you have demonized and vilified and criticized and mocked and ridiculed half of this country. Who is the last remaining stand for the country you say you love? Where have you been with Trevor Noah? And Stephen Colbert, and Jimmy Kimmel, and all of the other ne'er-do-well woke wave riders. Too little too late, Bill. Hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio program. Let's talk about this, Mike Johnson's SAVE Act. And Donald Trump standing right next to him. What is going on? We're going to go there next.